It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. You know, it's time again for us to spend about 15 minutes and talk about the outdoors. And you know, here on KETR, we do run the gamut, everything from squirrel hunting to catching stripers. Today, we have a special guest, Mr. Brad Durick. Brad is a channel catfish expert. He fishes the Red River, not the Red River that we know close to home here, but the Red River up north where the giant channel catfish live. We're going to pick Brad's brain a bit. He's got a brand new book out, Cracking the Channel Catfish Code. That's the name of it, Cracking the Channel Catfish Code. We're going to tell you how to find that and maybe learn some new things from Brad today. Brad, thank you very much, sir, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Luke.
Awesome book. I'll tell you that right up front, man.
Thank you very much.
Awesome book. You put a lot of, well, you've guided for years and fished for, I'm going to dare say, probably fished for channel catfish most of your life in the rivers, the red up there, correct?
Actually, I'm not a lifelong river fisherman. It actually came over the last 15 years, but I was able to pick it up fairly quickly.
Yeah. Well, give us an idea, the area of the Red River that you fish.
I'm on the central Red River. We're one of the few rivers that actually runs to the north, which everybody conveniently points out to me when we start our guide trip. We start basically in southern North Dakota along the Minnesota border, and it runs north through the major cities of Fargo, North Dakota, Grand Forks, North Dakota, eventually runs through Winnipeg, Manitoba in Canada, and into Lake Winnipeg, which is one of the largest freshwater lakes in the world.
Yes, Well, Brad, tell me this. You know, the farther north you go when you're dealing with game animals such as white-tailed deer, the bigger they get. Well, I know this much. The farther north you go, as far as the northern Red River, we'll call it, giant channel catfish, aren't they? I mean, down here in Texas, folks listening to us now, if you catch a 6-pound channel cat, you got a big one. And not to say you won't occasionally catch an 8 or 10 pounder, but that's a monster channel cat down here. That's commonplace up there, isn't it?
Well, we're so spoiled up here with our channel cats that I won't even stop for a photo of a 10-pounder.
Wow. Wow. And I have, honestly, I don't think I've ever caught an honest 10-pound channel catfish in my life. Right now, Brad, when you go, we've got some awesome channel catfish lakes. Lake Fork, which is well known for bass fishing, is full of channel catfish. And I've got a good buddy that guides there, Seth Vanover, who's a regular on our show a lot. You know, he's catching a lot of above-average size channel catfish at Lake Fork right now. They're going to weigh 2 to 6 pounds. Occasionally, a 9-pounder, something to really brag about. I wonder why the channel catfish are so much bigger up there in the Red River.
Well, we have a few things going on that's advantage for the fish. Number one, we only get to fish about half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the year, the catfish are basically dormant or slow enough that they're not really feeding. So we have a very small season. Number two, we have very strict regulations on what can and can't be kept in the Red River. You're allowed 5 in possession, and only one of those can be over 24 inches, which is about 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good, strict regulations, and we live in walleye world up here, so the pressure on these fish is next to nothing. You know, a 545-mile river, and you can safely say 300 of it isn't being fished.
Okay, so you have a lot of fish reaching maturity, a lot of
exactly
older
fish. The other thing is we don't have, our fish don't have to compete with flatheads or blues either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Got to make a difference. Well, river fishing is a topic I know very little about. I fished our Red River here. I fished the Trinity, and I fished the Brazos, which is where I fished the Brazos River. You probably have heard about it down here in Texas, but it's more of a stream than a river, you know. as far as do you, when you're targeting channel cat, I know that in reservoirs, channel cat likes some type of cover. Is it rock structure and things like that in the bigger river that you key on, or do you find them out, you know, open water?
Well, we're a pretty diverse river system. The upper reaches of the river is pretty narrow, not that deep, and really full of wood structure. And as you move north, you tend to get away from that root wood structure and more into an open water situation where current seams and basically any sort of hole or divot or anything can become structure and eventually get into rock bottom when you get up to the Canadian side.
I got you. Well,
so it's a combination of everything you mentioned.
I got you. So you're going to maybe be shallow. Say there's a big bend in a river and there's some flooded vegetation on the outside bend. I'm just thinking out loud here, Brad. Would at times, would you anchor and cast up into that more shallow stuff? Is that a pattern that you do some?
We do some shallow fishing. Everything that I do, and it's in the book pretty extensively, is current related.
Mm-hmm.
More than shallow versus deep is where the current's moving. In a high water situation, you would go to the inside bend. In a low water situation, you would go to the outside bend. And then from there, you would look for the structure, whether it be rocks or wood or whatever.
I'm with you. Well, let's kind of relate the Red River that you fish to a stream that I've trout fished a lot up in northern Colorado. We hunt elk and bear up in northern Colorado each year, and I do some trout fishing. If you're in a steep bend in a stream or a river, and the bait presentation is what I'm thinking about. You know, trout fishing, if the current's going around, you'll cast up into the current and let the flow, the current, push your bait and your weight, whatever you got there, along, present that bait to more, possibly present it to more fish. Now, What about bait presentation with catfish? How in the river there? Does that relate to trout fishing?
While you would tend to agree, I would agree with what you just said there. I tend to look at the location the same, but not necessarily float it down. I know a lot of guys do use floats and mm-hmm. move it. I tend not to. I tend to use a sinker that'll stick it in that mm-hmm. point where the seam meets, whether it be on the main drop off to the river or something creating a different current seam, and then let the scent of the bait do the work from there.
I got you. So a catfish, a channel catfish, even in moving water, he depends pretty strong on the sense of smell, right?
Sense of smell. I'm also starting to work on their hearing ability. That's more of a story for down the road, but, you know, I'm trying to play with all the senses. But number one, I want to put it in a high percentage spot of where they'll travel,
mm-hmm.
where they'll hunt, and then let the scent of the bait do the work from there.
Okay. Now, let's go back to this bend in the river that I've got in my mind. And say it's a fairly steep bend. I don't know if the Red has, maybe not like a mountain stream, but a pretty good bend, river bend.
We've got some pretty good ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never fished a Red. I've been up there around it, deer hunting in North Dakota a couple of times. But where would you position your boat in relation to the bend necessarily? Is that all relate to the channel itself? Or
that all depends on how the water's moving at one time, whether it's a high water situation, a normal water situation, or a low water situation. Most of the time, we'll just go to normal because that's what most people are going to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I would go to the outside area mm-hmm. where it's carved out some sort of trough and created a place where most of the bait will move based on how the current's moving.
I got you. Now, is that catfish like a bass, for instance? Is he an opportunist as far as he's laying wait for bait to come, food to come down, and then he's picking it up that's being washed down to him as a rule?
Channel catfish are an opportunistic feeder, absolutely. Depending what feeding mood they're in, they'll absolutely lay there and wait for the easy meal to come by, but they will come out and hunt too.
Okay.
I always fish them as if they're laying there, and try to put the bait to them,
okay,
rather than make them come out and hunt for it. Although there's times when they're actively hunting, and you can actually set up your boat so they can find it while they're hunting.
Well, you know, Brad, I'm relating your northern Red River to ours. There's some good catfishing in the Red River that borders Oklahoma and Texas, and I'm thinking, and I bet a lot of our listeners are thinking too, hey, I might want to put some of these tactics to use down here in our Red River. I think they would work. If, like you pointed out in your book, there a channel catfish is a channel catfish, right?
That's right. That's how I wrote the book. I wrote it as if, and it's true, a catfish is a catfish, and a river is a river. Of course, there's different structure, different, you know, bottom substrates, and of course, water temperature plays into key. But the bottom line is, if you know the basics of how a fish reacts to those certain aspects of a river, it really doesn't matter where you are. It's just a matter of adapting to what you have.
Okay. Now, we've got a couple of minutes left, Brad, but as far as baits, that may change, or there might be a better bait in one part of the country than another. Some people use skipjack, I know that. Well, up in your Red River, what's your favorite bait for channel catfish?
I'm a fan of white sucker, which is a cold water stream fish that we have readily available up here, and one of the biggest reasons I like it is because I can buy it. I don't have to go out and look for it. I can call the bait guy, and he traps it, and he'll deliver it.
Let's compare. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let's compare. I want to get all this information in. Let's compare that to shad, you know, down here. Shad is readily available. Would, like I'd mentioned, maybe depending on what part of the country you were in, but it's a bait. It's a fish. Do you use it whole or cut bait? Or
I use cut bait most of the time. There is situations where I need to draw in fish. I got to find hunting fish, got to find more active fish, or I get a customer who's only interested in trophy fish. And, you know, when you're going for trophy fish, your numbers will get cut down, but you can get away with using some live bait or bigger bait, mm-hmm, and you don't catch the numbers, but you have a better shot at the bigger fish. And
I'm
it all depends
you.
On who you're with at the time.
I'm with you, Brad. Well, we are just about out of time. Folks, we're visiting with Mr. Brad Durick, and he's an expert on catching channel catfish. His book is titled Cracking the Channel Catfish Code. Brad, tell us how we can find the book. It's a lot of good information on channel catfish. I was amazed at all the stuff you packed in the book. How do they find it?
The quickest way to get it is go to my website, which is simply catfishcode.com, or it's also available at Amazon.
Easy enough. Just go www.catfishcode.com or through Amazon, and the name of it again is Cracking the Channel Catfish Code. Well, Brad, here in the near future, maybe I'd like to get you back because I feel like we've only scratched the surface. I know we have. Picking your brain on channel catfish. Would you get back with us again?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, we certainly appreciate the time, and we will get you back soon. Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com, and also made possible by Hoffpower Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. The website down there is hpolaris.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.